Somebody just told me that 49 out of 50 states this week had snow. Now, I can read clearly in the book of Job, God's in charge of the snow. He's in charge of the lightning bolts. And he makes the lightning bolts fly and fall and hit exactly where he wants them. Somebody says, but you know, I know a little boy that got hit with a lightning strike on a baseball diamond and got killed one day. Who slung that lightning bolt? God did. God's in control, isn't he? He's running the show. And that's what most of us don't realize, who is in control. But God is in control. Just like the day my wife and daughter got killed in a car wreck and my granddaughter was nearly killed in a car wreck along with her little friend, I knew God was in control of that. I knew that didn't catch him by surprise. I knew he had a plan. I didn't understand that plan. But when he told me to give thanks in all things, whenever the guy walked into a healing school just like this at 1 o'clock, and I looked up and there stands a police officer right there in the door with a gun on. I thought, I wonder if I parked my pickup in the wrong place. See, that's when I was over in Dallas. And so I walked back there. I said, sir, can I help you? He said, are you Thurman Scrivener? I said, yes, sir. He said, you have a wife named Betty? I said, yes. He said, you have a daughter named Amanda? I said, yes. He said, sir, there's been an accident. I said, are they injured? He said, sir, they're both deceased. I said, how about the two babies that was with them? He said, they've been care flighted to Cook's Medical Center, and they're both in critical, critical condition. I said, thank you, sir. And I turned and I come back to the front and I told the people, I've just lost my wife and my daughter. They've both been killed in a car wreck. And the two little girls are in Cook's Medical Center in critical condition. So I want us to stop and praise the Lord. What did God say give thanks in? All things. Do you understand that? I can't say that I really do. But he said give thanks in all things. Then what am I supposed to do? Give thanks in all things. And by giving thanks in all things, after we worshiped and praised the King for about 15 to 20 minutes, I told everybody, okay, I said, now then we're going to close the healing school. I'm not going to do the healing school today. So I didn't. I was there. I didn't miss that one, but I didn't do that one. I left and came home and got my son. And we drove calmly and gently down to Cook's Medical Center and walked in. And when I looked down at my little granddaughter, I couldn't recognize who she was. She was a glob of flesh that was tore all to pieces. Her face was that big. Blood was running out everywhere. I looked down and I said, Lord, I'm sure glad you give me John 15:7. Now that's an awesome verse. And I want us to put John 15:7 on the board. I want you to see this is not only for Thurman. This verse is for every Christian. John 15:7 is for every Christian. If you abide in me, now see, it's got a requirement. If you abide in me, that don't mean going to church on Sunday, folks. That don't mean spending 15 minutes a day in God's Word. When it says, if you abide in me, that's what it means. Abide all day long. You worship, you praise, you thank the King. You live in Him. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, there's very few people, even in the church, that have studied God's Word enough that they got a few verses. Most people, if you were to ask them to quote their favorite verses, they would have one or two. And then after that, they couldn't tell you. Now then, if you're a guy, now there's a very few women, but if you were a guy and somebody says, what's your favorite football team? They said, well, the Saints and the Colts and the Dallas Cowboys. Well, do you know anything about, oh yeah, the Dallas Cowboys, this is the quarterback and this is the standby quarterback, this is how many yards they're on, and on and on and on and on. And an hour later, they're still talking. You say, wow, do you know who the 12 apostles were? Who? You know who Jesus? Oh, yeah, I've heard of Jesus. I don't know much about him, but I've heard about him. Now, you want to know, if that's all you know about the Word of God, this verse won't work for you, will it?
That's right.
This verse clearly says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. So I spent most of my life, especially the last 10 or 20 years, I spent my life in a Baptist church teaching God's word. I mean, I was known as the outcast in the Baptist church. Man, this guy's a radical. Is that right, Ernestine? Her and John was in my Sunday school class for years. Everybody coming to my Sunday school class thought I was a radical. Very few of them stayed. Some of them did. John and Ernestine, they stayed. Some did, some didn't. They thought I was too radical. Why was I radical? Because I was in the Word. I was studying the Word. Me and the Word were becoming one, slowly but surely. And so whenever I had learned these things and I could stand on these promises, even though I was in a Baptist church teaching a Sunday school class in a Baptist church, and of course, in all the last 10 years I was in a Baptist church, I hardly ever got a new member in my class. And I didn't know why until one day I had a couple that come out here to Justin, and they came to see me. They heard about me, and they came to the Baptist church. And when they came in that morning, the guys at the door, they said, where's Thurman Scrivener's class? And they said, well, it's upstairs, but said, we got a couple's class over here, and we got a singles class down here. And he said, they tried everything in the world to get me in some other class besides you. I said, no, I came to hear Thurman Scrivener today. I want to know where he's at. And they said, well, okay, he's upstairs. When he come upstairs, he said, why do they try to divert everybody from your class? I said, I didn't know they were doing that. He said, man, they tried everything to get us in some class besides yours. So now I realize why I've been there for 10 years and all other classes are growing. The church is growing, but mine ain't growing. I'm considered a rebel because I teach what God's Word says. Well, when Bill Gothard asked me to come down to Big Sandy to teach after three miracles happened in his office, three people got healed in his office. When I'm on the phone right here and he's in Chicago, by the time three of them get healed, he decides it's time for me to be in one of his conferences. So I go up there and I speak in one of his conferences at Big Sandy. Now, he signs me up for four or five all across the country. And I speak at the first one at Big Sandy. And the next morning, now, of course, the first teaching, the first day on Thursday, we titled it God's Power. Now, if you've not heard the CD, God's Power, it's over here, called God's Power. It's an hour and a half long, and it'll tell you what I taught on, and then you'll see what got me thrown out of the Bill Gothard Conference. Because they throwed me out. They wouldn't let me speak. They absolutely would not let me speak anymore. And so, you know, if you're going to teach God's Word, some of the men that are there don't want you there. But that's okay. I will have to say, recently, I have had the privilege to speak in Southwestern Seminary three times. That's got to be a real blessing, you know, to get a PhD from a class. When he gets to a certain part in a new class, he has asked me now three different times to come down and teach about healing. And so I have done that three times because he has listened to the story about my granddaughter. Of course, that day, whenever we had all these devastating things happen, you know, whenever normally the average person that's in church, when you lose your mate, you go to screaming and crying. If you lost your daughter too, and maybe your grandchildren, most people will get mad at God and not realize that God's God. And instead of worshiping and praising the King, they get mad at God and walk off. Have you seen people like that? We should never be that way. He knows what he's doing. I didn't know what he was doing, but he knew what he was doing. So after he killed my wife and my daughter, and some people say, I don't like to hear you say God killed your wife and your daughter. Well, okay, but he did. He's in control. I'm going to prove that to you from the scripture before we go too far today. He had a plan. And then my granddaughter, when she was in the shape she was in that hospital down there, when I walked in and saw her, every doctor that checked her said, it's impossible, she cannot live. So what did the King say I could ask for? Do you think he's big enough to fulfill that? Yes. I mean, even though they say her brainstem is severed, I mean, if that's all that was wrong with her, according to the doctor, you can't live with a severed brainstem. But her eyes were jerked out of her brain. Her skull was crushed in five places. Her internal organs, there was not an organ in her body that was not damaged somehow, some way. All of them. And then her right knee was crushed and her left leg broken right below her knee and right above her ankle. And they said, it's over. But if you're a Christian and you have the word in you and you have that promise and you know that your God is bigger than anything, you have no problem of just walking up and saying, Father, I want you to fix her. I want you to put her little face back together. And I said, Lord, you said I could ask for anything. And I believe you. So, Lord, I want you to fix her little face. And I know how little girls are when they grow up. They don't want a bunch of scars on their face. You know, you girls, you know, I know all you girls are just like my wife now, Cheryl. If she wakes up in the morning and goes into hysterics and starts screaming and says, honey, come in here right now, quick. And I get up and I go running. I say, good grief, what's wrong? She said, look right here. And I say, what's wrong? She said, look. I said, well, so what are we talking about? You see that little tiny zit right there on my face? Oh, yeah, if I look real good, I see it. She said, pray over that. I don't want that there. Well, I mean, she wants to be beautiful. You tell me a girl in this room that don't want to be beautiful. You tell me a girl in here that wants to grow up with scars all over her face. None of them. Not any of you are like that, are you? I know that about girls. So what did God say I could ask for right there? What did he say?
Anything.
Well, so what do you think granddaddy's going to ask for that little girl? Hey, I want him to fix that face and I don't want a scar on it when he gets through with it. Is that right, brother?
That's right.
I mean, that's my little granddaughter. Yeah. At that time, that's the only grandbaby I got. So I said, Lord, I want you to fix that little face. I mean, it is lacerated and tore all to pieces and blood's running out everywhere there's an opening in her head. It's running out her ears, her eyes, her nose, her mouth. Blood's running out everywhere. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to fix that little face. And when you get through with it, I don't want a single scar on that little face.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, I Thought You Were a Man of Faith, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.